Good evening, everybody. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is where we will be reading from in just one moment. I would say with the audience here tonight, most of y'all have probably been a Christian for quite some time. And whether you've grown up in the church as a child, you've just been here since a child, or you've been converted later on in life, most of y'all could probably say you've been around for a while. You've heard the songs, you've heard the sermons, the Bible classes, and the short talks, and overall, you've grown pretty accustomed to how things work, because, again, you've been a Christian for quite some time. Well, is it possible, being a Christian for a long time, that sometimes we can fall into the trap of treating our faith, our service to God, somewhat like we would like a movie or a song or a trend? In that, let me explain. I'm going to use the example of a movie, but hopefully you can see that with a song or a trend. But then that when you first see a movie, there's a level of interest and excitement tied into that experience because it's the first time that you see a movie. But the more and more and more that you watch the movie, it loses its excitement. And, you know, it's just not quite the same as it was when you first watched it. You may still like the movie, you may still enjoy it, but it's not quite the same when you first watch the movie. And hopefully you can see that with the song. And that's kind of what a trend is, right? Something's cool for a little while, and then it kind of fades away, right? Can we do that with Christianity? Has it ever been the case in your life where your interest and your motivation and your excitement in serving God fades a little? Where maybe it's not quite the same as, you know, when you first were baptized or some other high moment in your faith? And you may be doing all the right things. You may be doing everything exactly right, but maybe your heart's not quite in it. And, you know, you may not say this out loud, but maybe the way that you feel inside is, this is just something that's normal, right? This is something that I do, that's something that I've done for as long as I can remember. Maybe you may say, this is something that's ordinary, right? That this is just something that it kind of just feels like the same old stuff that I've done over and over and over for however long you've been a Christian. Can we do that where we are not quite as pumped up to serve God? Well, that leads us to Acts chapter 2. If you're there in Acts chapter 2, we're going to be looking at the last two verses of this chapter. Now, we come to these last five verses primarily to see what were the things that the first century Christians were doing because we want to imitate the things that they did. And so you look at verse 42 and you see, okay, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, into fellowship, breaking of bread. You look on and say, okay, they had all things in common. They were selling property. They were in the temple and other things such like that. But we're going to focus on a key phrase in verse 43 that I want to focus on. Verse 43 says, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Now, I don't know about you, but this seems a little weird to me. It seems like a little bit of a clunker. Because, you know, here in these short five verses, Luke is giving us a snapshot. This is what the first century church looked like. And they did this, and they did this, and they did this. But it kind of stops and says, but wait a minute, I want you guys to know. It doesn't quite say that, but kind of stops and says, by the way, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. So we're going to think about that a little bit. There must be something to that. So if I were to ask you, why were the first century Christians feeling a sense of awe? Well, y'all are good Bible students, and you say, well, the church just began. The old law was fulfilled, and you can imagine that. You know, you and I were there in the first century, and I mean, I can't imagine the stories that are floating around the community right now. You've heard about this Jesus, right? Maybe even saw him once, right? And he did some of the craziest things that you've ever heard about, but he died. And that was a big deal. But now his followers, they're claiming that he is alive. And it's kind of weird because they're doing the exact same crazy miracles that Jesus did. And they've got thousands of people that are following them, right? And maybe you know some of these people, right? And they've changed. They're different. You can't hardly recognize them. And you go and ask these people, what's going on? They say, well, it's this gospel that I'm following now. And maybe you dig a little bit deeper and you see, okay, so these people, they're saying that the law has been fulfilled. God's created a new covenant through this Jesus, through his death and resurrection, and just a little bit things like that, little incredible things that God has done. And maybe you and I were sitting there in the first century and you're seeing all these things, all the pieces starting to come together, and you step back and you think, wow. God has done some pretty amazing things. And we would agree, right? Yes, Emery, the first century Christians, they had plenty of reason to be in awe of what God has done. But we have to take it a step further, right? Are the first century Christians the only ones who should be feeling a sense of awe? Well, the answer to that is no. We serve the same awesome God that these people did, right? The same God that's created everything around us, who's beyond our comprehension. And I'll bring up Isaiah 40:28. Listen to this. This verse says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is unsearchable." I like that word. We serve this awesome, this unsearchable God, who has given us an awesome word, right? That has changed the lives of men more than anything else in existence. The word that is the living and enduring word of God in 1 Peter. I like that. A living and enduring word of God. And from this, we preach a gospel, right? That we sometimes call it's like the best news the man has ever heard, right? But y'all understand these things. Y'all have heard these things. Y'all understand these things. You get this. There's nothing really new in. And time would fail us if we were to think about and list all the things that God has done that makes us stand in awe of him. So my purpose with saying these things tonight is that when we talked about earlier, if you're dragging your feet maybe a little bit in your service to God, or if you're doing just fine, my purpose in this is that when you get a moment tonight by yourself, that time for you to reflect, that you would take a big picture view of what God has done and his plan throughout history, or and his works that he's done in your life. And hopefully when you reflect on that and you see how all the pieces come together and just everything at once, that you can kind of step back and say, you know what? I really do serve an awesome God. And if you're a Christian, hopefully you can say, and that's why I follow him. But maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. But maybe all the pieces have started to come together. And you may not understand everything. In fact, you won't. But you understand enough to see that what God is offering you is too incredible an opportunity to pass up. If you would like to be baptized and start that journey, the choice is yours, and we are ready to help. If there is any need, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.